You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Between the pandemic and the revolution for racial justice, several global crises are coming to a head, and a notable one, climate change. That's the reasoning behind the City of Boise's new Climate Action Division, championed by Mayor Lorne McLean. Joining Idaho Matters live today to talk about this new pursuit are Mayor McLean and Director of Public Works, Steve Burgos. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Mayor, I want to start with you because you studied environmental policy for your master's degree at Boise State. So, of course, this topic is important to you, but what is it about it that stands out to you as something that, you know, you needed to make sure you had a specific team put in place to tackle this?
Sure. Thanks for the question, Gemma, and thanks for having Steve and I today. I really appreciate it. I did study environmental policy, but most importantly, you know, this, while there's so much policy conversation about how to protect the environment, how to make sure that our residents have the resources like water they need in the long run. And this is important to me because it's about protecting people and making sure that we spur innovation and grow opportunity as we address the future impacts of climate change to create a stronger economy within Boise and the Treasure Valley.
And Steve, you are the director of Boise Public Works, as I mentioned. I'm curious to know what environmentalism currently looks like in Boise, but also where do you hope to see it in the future?
Thanks for the question, Gemma. Environmentalism in Boise is an interesting question because it's one of the things that we find often when we go talk to citizens about our different programs, whether it's Boise's Energy Future that we finished last year or the Water Renewal Utility Plan that we're in the middle of. We hear very consistently from Boiseans, they expect us to do more than the bare minimum, and that environmental protection is top of mind. In fact, oftentimes we hear from Boiseans that they're willing to pay a little bit more for improved environmental outcomes. And so from our perspective as a city staff, following the mayor's lead, we're gonna start investing in actions that help us address some of those environmental concerns that our citizens want us to prioritize.
You know, Mayor, I mean, as you are very aware, we are in the center of several crises, right? I mean, kind of take your pick. We have the pandemic, racial justice, and climate change is also in that. So what I'm curious about is why does Boise need to act right now on the environment? But also, like, how do you prioritize these different crises that we're facing?
Sure. Great question, Gemma. I mean, Boiseans expect us to lead. They value our open spaces, clean water, and know that all of this is key to our long-term prosperity. And so as we look at the impact, the economic impact in particular of the COVID-19 crisis, and we hear calls to address racial justice throughout our systems, I look at this in terms of prioritizing as a must-do. Because we want to make sure that in the long run, our residents have equitable access to the benefits of clean water and clean energy, that we plan in advance rather than having to react to a climate economy as a key tool in ensuring that we recover economically from this crisis. And of course, you know, as with a goal of being a city for everyone, we recognize that housing, mental health services, transportation, all of these things are equally important. But as the world changes, climate is going to be a big part of that. So we're setting our residents up, our community up for long-term resilience and economic opportunity.
And, you know, we know that climate change impacts every geographic region around the globe, right? So, Steve, I'm curious about what concerns you have when it comes to climate change, because we're already beginning to see longer, hotter summers, you know, worse droughts and fires. You know, we're going to see a 102 degree day today, and it's the middle of August, which normally we don't tend to see that this time of year. But, you know, what are these, you know, specific issues that you want to make sure are addressed?
Yeah, good question. And back in 2016, we did what we refer to as the Boise Climate Adaptation Assessment. And so we worked with the University of Idaho, Dr. John Abatsaglu, who's an expert on Northwest climate issues. We asked him to basically run, I think he ran about 24 different climate models. And out of that came 8 issues specifically that could impact Boise. And so you alluded to one. So for example, heat stress days. The frequency of really hot days, i.e. Days that are going to be with the heat index higher than 91 degrees, are going to go from a historical baseline of around 16 days per summer to about 66 days per summer by the middle part of this century. And so that's an example of something that is very real that we need to start planning around, both mitigating what we're doing that is causing that, adapting to those changes, and then being resilient when those extreme events happen. So we have a good sense for the top issues that we need to start dealing with that are going to come as a result of climate change. Now the climate action plan that we're going to be developing is going to start developing specific actions to address those concerns moving forward.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Boise Mayor Lauren McLean and Director of Public Works for the City of Boise, Steve Burgos, about the new Climate Action Division. So, Steve, I do want to understand a little bit more about the specifics of the new Climate Action Division. So can you break it down on like who's involved and then what they'll be working on?
Sure. We're going to have 4 staff involved in the Climate Action Division, and I'll be overseeing that division. We formed the group out of existing employees, so we don't have any additional costs. We were able to reassign some staff that were, frankly, already working on some climate issues, for example, working on energy issues, and we formed them into a team. So we'll have a manager of the group, we'll have a coordinator for some of our climate action activities, we'll have data analysts, and we'll have folks that are working on kind of electric vehicles, working on air quality issues, and as a whole, that group over the next year is going to be developing our first climate action plan for the city of Boise. And so over the next year, we'll have a very significant community engagement piece because we want to understand where the community sits on climate change and where they want to be engaged and where they think they can take action. And then we'll be setting specific greenhouse gas reduction goals for both city operations, municipal operations, but also setting goals for a community-wide greenhouse gas reduction. Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve, you mentioned electric vehicles, which kind of goes into that whole transportation piece. And I think we can all agree that the pandemic, I think, has exposed a couple of things. One being that if you are a white collar worker, you can pretty successfully work from home full time, which means, you know, you're not driving cars back and forth, right? But if you, on the other hand, maybe are, let's just take, for example, you know, whether you're a part-time worker or, you know, you're an hourly wage earner, that's, you know, a lot of times you've been put on the front lines, right? Like cashiers, things like that. And I think folks are fairly skeptical maybe about taking public transportation right now during this. So can you comment on the opportunities, but also maybe the threats exposed by COVID-19 in relation, you know, to climate change, and one being this idea of let's not drive cars as often?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there's going to be pluses and minuses up to your point. You know, I ride my bike to work and I've noticed just less cars on the road, which is good from a safety standpoint for a bike rider. But it also presents those challenges for folks that are providing essential services that maybe don't have an option of transportation option outside of public transit, but people are nervous. And so it's been interesting to see how that adjusts our approach moving forward, kind of balancing this the climate piece with the immediate challenges of COVID-19. There's definitely going to be pluses and minuses associated with how COVID-19 impacts mm-hmm. our approach.
And, you know, Mayor, climate change has become politicized in our country, no doubt. So are you concerned about what you can get done, what you can solve in one mayoral term? I mean, you're coming up on your first year. Are you worried about how climate change skeptical constituents could potentially, I don't want to say undermine these long range, the vision of this division, but frankly, not be on board for it?
Well, Gemma, I have deep trust in the people of Boise. Boiseans recognize the impact that climate has already had and also value steps taken to get ready for what's next, but also to recognize that through getting ready for what's next and addressing the real challenges around water, air, and long-term economic changes related to climate, Boiseans value leadership in taking steps to prepare for it, but to take advantage of it. And so in the challenges, I see so much opportunity, as so many Boiseans do. And we are here with an incredible team at the City of Boise, ready to focus within this division on climate action and climate innovation, to measure our progress and to do everything we can in the next 3 years to get us set up for success in the long run.
You know, Steve, I think that we know that the impacts of climate change do not affect everyone equally. And what I mean by that is minority groups, specifically people of color, are most negatively affected by climate change. So can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in Boise, but also how the division will work on making this city more equitable from an environmental standpoint?
Sure, Gemma. And I think that that's such a good point, that there are kind of, there's an inequity with the impacts of climate change. And so one of the foundational pieces of the Climate Action Plan is kind of following the mayor's lead on a city for everyone, is to make sure that we're reaching out to the groups that maybe haven't historically been contacted by the city on community engagement pieces related to, for example, some of our environmental programs on the energy future, on water. And so we're committed to having as a foundational piece of the development of the Climate Action Plan, equity being a foundational piece. So we're going to be going out to communities that haven't typically been involved. We're going to be going out to the what are sometimes referred to as the frontline communities that are going to be on the front lines of climate change being impacted very directly. So an example would be maybe there's parts of the city that don't have the same tree canopy cover as another part of the city. But we're going to try through the Climate Action Plan and through other initiatives the city has on tree planting to try to address that issue and to try to make it more equitable so that those folks that are in maybe low-income areas that don't have the same tree canopy, that'll be something that we'd like to take on as part of the Climate Action Plan.
You know, that's interesting, Steve, because something that hit me is simple things even like our playgrounds at our public parks, right? There is like zero shade cover in a lot of these parks. And for a lot of families, I mean, this is where they take their kiddos, right? To get out of the house, to have a place to play, because they can't afford to maybe, you know, put them in a camp or some other activity. So something as simple as adding, you know, shade canopies to playgrounds, I mean, that makes an impact. Will that be something that you would potentially be looking at when you're going out and getting that public comment?
Sure. I mean, that's another good example. We mentioned earlier about the heat index days increasing, where we could see kind of around 66 some days in the summertime where it would be over 90 degrees. Those are going to be real impacts. And so one of the things that we could consider moving forward is shade structures at parks. I know we're already putting some of those in through our Parks and Rec department. But those are good examples of the little things that we can do to help families adjust to the changing items that are going to be coming, those changing, evolving issues like heat index days.
Mayor, can you talk about timelines? Because I imagine there will be an initial planning phase, and Steve mentioned that, and then, you know, that public comment. But what are you, when do you anticipate that you can start implementing the plan?
Sure. So first off, we juggle, we plan and we implement so many things at the same time. We are moving forward on making this division because focus on climate adaptation, action, innovation is key. And once we've got staff planning this, they'll be working through the different programs we want to implement. The plan itself will be a focus of ours for the next 6 to 9 months. And that's where, especially in the next quarter, residents will have the opportunity to weigh in on their thoughts. And then, of course, I want to remind everyone, we are working towards the advanced goal of 100% clean energy by 2035. So we're putting together policies, looking at programs, actions we can take as a city today to make sure that we meet that goal by 2035, if not before.
Steve, earlier in the interview, you mentioned that there are 4 employees in the division and they've been reassigned from similar work. So, you know, no new costs are coming from putting new personnel into these positions. But I'm curious, where will the funding come from for the initiatives, you know, outside of personnel?
Sure, a good question. And so part of that is the mayor's proposed in the FY21 budget several projects that'll get us moving both on the energy front, but also development of the climate action plan. And so those items are included in the FY21 budget to help fund the actual initiatives. But as you alluded to earlier, no additional staff was added to form the division, but there will be additional funding to get the work done, whether it's through studies, through action plans, through specific actions that city staff will take to make sure that we're trying to get our arms around greenhouse gas reductions.
You know, Mayor, Steve mentioned, I mean, the FY21 budget was recently passed, and, you know, it is a lower budget overall this year, partly because no new property taxes were approved. You know, and a decision that you championed, and I think rightly so, in the midst of the pandemic. But how are you going to fund these climate initiatives? Because the budget is lower, but as Steve just mentioned, you know, you did put money in the budget for that. So that's really having to weigh priorities, I would think.
Oh, yes. I mean, we are weighing priorities. We'll look at what we need to do moving forward to bring progress and help our community recover beyond COVID, and have to make decisions related to that. Every year, with the city council, we go through a prioritization effort. And particularly now, with the world changing as much as it has in the last 6 months and prior to that, looking at what our citizens need to have opportunity and thrive in the future is what our job is. And that requires us to make an assessment and then to prioritize around the policies, programs, and investments we make as a city to do all that we can to achieve everyone's goal of long-term economic opportunity and a thriving community.
You know, Mayor, I think sometimes it's in the midst of any crisis, right? Whether it's a personal crisis or the pandemic, the racial justice crisis that we are facing, I think sometimes it's hard for people to look beyond the present moment. It's just, I think, psychologically difficult to do that. So I am sure there are some people who are naysayers of implementing such a large scale initiative when it comes to climate change. What would you say to those constituents? Because you really do, as a leader, have to have that long-term vision, even in the midst of all of the other crises that you are having to deal with.
Sure. And that's what I think is key, is that the people of Boise elected me to protect what we love about this place, to make decisions and provide leadership at times of crisis, although we didn't expect what we see now. And then to stay focused on our long-term vision of a community for everyone. And that means making decisions with the future in mind at the same time that I'm having to make tough day-by-day decisions related to a crisis. Yeah. But just like when you send your child off to school, and today so many of us started online, you know, we're not just thinking about how to get through the day-to-day. I mean, we are. But we're also thinking about what we need to do for our kids so that they thrive for the full year, so that they can make their goals of graduating, whether it be this year or onward. And so each of us is tasked with taking care of the day to day and reacting to the moment, but responsible for never losing sight of long-term vision and goals and taking steps to get us there too.
Steve, 5 years, 10 years down the road, what will it be that for you to say, yeah, this program has been successful?
I think there's a number of things, Gemma. I think, you know, answering your previous question on kind of the, you know, near term, the mayor's been big on, she thinks there's going to be a new climate economy coming. And so we're trying to set up the city in the near term to take advantage of the economic opportunities that could come from climate change. It's not all doom and gloom. It's obviously a huge, challenging issue, but there are opportunities as well. And so on the economic development side, we're looking at maybe some kind of climate economy accelerator, where we try to invest in a construct where companies can get their legs under them in Boise if they have ideas on how to address climate change. So there's that piece that's kind of the near term, but long term, we're going to be setting very specific goals on greenhouse gas reduction. So, and then how do you get there? So we'll start setting goals specifically on electric vehicle conversions in our city fleet. We have a budget to start doing that on an annual basis. We'll be looking at large-scale solar facilities in the city to help us meet our goals on the 2035 clean electricity goal. So we'll be having, in the climate action plan, we'll be having very specific metrics that we're going to be measuring ourselves so that 5 to 10 years from now, we can look back and say, yes, we're making progress, or we have achieved this specific goal. And I think that's a hallmark of kind of what we do in public works. We're scientists, we're engineers, we're operators of facilities. We're big on data and metrics. And so we'll be setting those goals, very specific goals, to make sure that we can track and report back to the citizens that we are making progress.
And Mayor, similar question for you. As we wrap up the interview, what is there something specific for you that, you know, when you look back on this 10 years from now, to say, yeah, we did this and we were successful?
There are several things, to be honest, Gemma. You know, it's so hard to predict the future, especially as we've learned the last months or so. When I think about 10 years from now, it'll be 2030. I want the city to be on the cusp of achieving its 100% clean energy goal that right now is set for 2035. And in that, we will have had to have shown that we can come up with the innovative solutions to address energy efficiency, to address solar and power, and then also to be well on our way towards carbon neutrality. And at the same time, we'll have begun implementing a new future-oriented water renewal program and the green infrastructure that's necessary to save our residents' money. And that also will have opened even more resources, both financially, but from an environmental perspective for our residents as well. And there'll be people living in this community that have jobs powered by the innovation that's required to be able to meet those goals that we've set out and the goals that we'll be setting out in the coming year.
I want to thank both of you for your time today to talk to us about this. We've been talking with Boise Mayor Lauren McLean and Director of Public Works for the City of Boise, Steve Burgos, talking about the city's new Climate Action Division. Thank you both.
Thanks so much. Be well, everyone.
This is Idaho Matters.